Welcome on in. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. Kyle Quinn behind the glass. And you guys on the phone lines. A lot to get to today. ComboCon Day 3. We'll tell you about what we're looking for in a little bit. And a great prize to give away. Rhea Hughes will join us at 11. My antenna's up on something with the Philadelphia Eagles. And I don't love what I'm hearing from the Phillies camp when it comes to something we all need to happen here in Philadelphia. Lot to discuss. Good morning, Hugh Douglas.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. Hey, listen, just as a friendly PSA, if you're over 40 and you take workout pictures, that is not a thirst trap. That is an appreciation post. No, it is.
I'm not arguing you.
No, it is. It's an appreciation post.
So I was working through it as you said it because I'm 38 now, so I'm getting closer. But I don't ever take workout pictures, so this is never going to be a thing.
Because I get accused, like sometimes, you know, like my ex, she'll put up the workout pics, and she's like, "Why you out here thirst trapping?" I'm like, "I'm not thirst trapping. It's an appreciation post."
You mean like the pictures with your running shoes?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't even know what qualifies a thirst trap, but that can't be it.
Well, you know, sometimes you have people like women mostly, and I'm not taking a shot because I love the women. The women are wonderful. But, you know, they'll take a picture of them working out, and they like to do the squat machine, and they like to show their gains when doing the squat machine. And it's like a lot of, like, older, more mature women, I should say, they like to take pictures of their gains doing the squat machine. I don't think that's a thirst trap. I just think that's an appreciation post.
So you know what, Hugh? I'm going to go with you on that. I don't. I feel like I'm not the one to be the determining factor on thirst traps, but I like that Daily Douglas. All right, 215-592-9494. All right, Hugh. You know we've had a few days to kind of take a deep breath off the Sirianni thing from Sunday, right? It's Thursday now. We're moving forward. Week 10 of the NFL season starts tonight. But you know what still feels like the biggest conversation in town? Nick Sirianni. It just feels like Angelo this morning, was a great interview on with the morning show, as Angelo goes into the Philadelphia Sports Hall of Fame tonight, and they asked him about Sirianni, and he's talking about how he's comparing it to, you know, basically potty training his grandchild. Watching the Sirianni experience has got us all in a tizzy. And Hugh, last week I said we were probably too hard on him, and maybe he's not a terrible coach, but I also don't think he's a very good coach, and he drives me crazy in these games. And Hugh, the more I think about what happened on Sunday, the more I think about where the Eagles are right now, I think we're dealing with something that is so different than almost any NFL team. You know what that is? We win in spite of the head coach.
It feels, and again, I say this, and I like Coach Sirianni, and I have boots on the ground in this situation because I'm here in Philadelphia. It feels like the national sentiment is Coach Sirianni's a bubblehead.
I think that you're right on that. I think not just the national sentiment, but also the local sentiment. I mean, Monday we came in here after a victory, right? The Eagles won the game. At one point they were up 22-0, which should have everyone happy. Everyone was annoyed on Monday. And now as we look forward to a Cowboys game and then 1 week from today, a huge game against the Washington Commanders, my biggest concern with the team is the head coach. And my biggest issue with him is I just feel like
he's a bubblehead.
Well, I'll compare it to a manager in baseball. And I'll use a line that Howard Eskin likes to use with managers. They can only lose games. They don't really win games. And I don't know if I necessarily believe that all the time. But that's what when I hear that or I think about that, I think about Nick Sirianni. I don't feel like he's helping them win most of these games. I feel like in general, he can get in the way. And I feel like he's gotten in the way of the Saints game. He got in the way on Sunday. Now, it doesn't mean you can't win, right? The Eagles roster is really, really talented. They've got great players like Saquon Barkley and A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and linemen. And now on the defensive side, we're seeing some young players. Hugh, they have really good players. Howie Rosen built a great roster. But I feel like they win in spite of the head coach. I feel like week in, week out, I'm like, yeah, they won, but this guy almost cost them in a big way. 215-592-9494. Hugh, when I say that, do you agree? Do you disagree? Where do you come down? Like, are the Eagles winning in spite of the head coach? Because I think about the great years of the Patriots. They won in part because of Bill Belichick. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs win in large part because of Andy Reid. I feel like a lot of games we're winning in spite of what this guy's doing. Like Sunday. Sunday was a game where he almost cost them in a big way, and I felt like they won, even though he was kind of pulling them in the opposite direction. Where do you come down?
This is a tough one for me, Joe. I'm not going to lie, because I feel like we don't know what Coach Sirianni brings to the table as far as the success of the Philadelphia Eagles. I'll even go as far as to say that when he had his Britney Spears moment, that was the catalyst for the run that we're on now.
Mm-hmm.
So I and I'm not in the locker room, and I'm speculating here. You know, and I'm speculating from the perspective of a man who's been in a locker room, who has had a coach that was somewhat embattled at times, not to the level that Coach Sirianni has been embattled with the media and everything that he's done in the past. But, you know, there were times where, you know, Coach Reed had his issues, and we had to rally around that. And knowing how much I cared for Coach and still care for him, how I felt about playing for him. I think that there's something similar here, and we hear that every time. Even hear that, you know, when guys do podcasts and everything, but I even hear it when you ask people on an individual basis mm-hmm. how much they care about Coach Sirianni. So I think there's a little bit of that goes along with it. So I think it would be kind of foolish to say that he, on some level, doesn't have his hands in some of this. You know what I mean? It's just hard to figure out which pieces.
Well, so let me be fair. Yeah, I think you're right on that. It's not like he does nothing to help the team. They do seem to rally behind him. It does seem like whatever happened 4 weeks ago, they've got his back. That's great. I mean, I think that's certainly true. I'm just talking about on game day, I feel like he either gets in the way, is a negative, and is very rarely a positive on game day. And maybe he was early in his career when the team mm-hmm. wasn't quite as good, and he did some things to kind of push him forward. This year, it's hard for me to say that they're winning because he's there. Like I feel like you could almost replace him with any coach, and they'd have very similar success that they have right now.
I understand where you're coming from. And this week, that's the public sentiment, because it just feels like, you know, he had his stink all over those plays that
Nine
were called.
9 points!
But, Joe, he has his stink all over the fact that they beat the Cincinnati Bengals the way that they beat them.
Sure.
He has his stink all over the other wins that we have in the winning streak that we're on right now. So I can't blame Coach Sirianni for all of the debacles, even though it's easy to do. I don't know which parts he has his hands in.
But that's the leader of the debacles.
Yeah,
he's coached debacle.
And normally that's where it starts, with the head. It starts with the head.
It does.
But this team has rallied around him, Joe, and we are 6-2. That's a fact.
They are. Look, they have played better. And I know I'm saying this as they've won 4 in a row, so someone out there that's a Sirianni supporter might be like, is he really critical? I don't even consider it criticism. I just consider it the way I feel. Like, I just think they win in spite of him. And the biggest thing is I watch this team move forward because they are good. They are talented. Is I just have this thing deep down where I feel like he's going to get in the way in a big spot. He's going to hurt them in a big spot. 215-592-9494. Like, if you ask me right now, Joe, if they don't win the Super Bowl, how does it end? And there's different ways a team season could end, right? It could be the defense stinks it up. It could be, you know, unfortunately they run into a great football team and they just can't compete. It could be the quarterback has 3 turnovers in a big game, right? Every team's season that's a contender ends in a different way if it's not ending by hoisting the trophy. Right now, if you had said to me, Joe, how does this season end? I think it ends with Sirianni doing something that we're talking about for months and months and months. And maybe it's not all his fault, but that's a big part of it. Julian Edelman on Fox Sports talking about Sirianni and why he's concerned about him moving forward as the Eagles get into the biggest games.
There's just been a lot of episodes. Can I bet on Sirianni going out and beating a Detroit in a playoff game with a lot of these behaviors? Or like the noise that we've heard. And I know it's only the middle of the season, but they haven't played anyone really that great. And they're not going to play anyone really that great going forward, playing in their division, the Giants twice and Dallas twice. They're going to have a great record. It's going to come down to, can they beat the good teams when they have to play the good teams? And right now I just can't pick them with how the leadership's been going.
I don't think it's a crazy thing to say. I don't. 215-592-9494. Hume, big game against the Niners or against the Lions.
You worry about that.
Yeah.
That's something to worry about. And that's the thing. But like Julian said, we still have time. You know what the unfortunate thing about what happened this weekend is that it happened. And what I mean by that is, Coach Sirianni, I know y'all can't see my hands, but just pretend like you can, because I got them pointed going upwards.
Okay.
He was ascending, mm-hmm. and people were starting to feel good about him as a head coach.
Last week, you guys tried to get me to apologize.
Yeah.
To
him. Well, no. I like how that story just spun.
They've not lost since then, by the way. Yeah. Probably, you know.
But no. Like, as I put my head back in the air and show y'all what I'm doing, he was ascending. And then it was like, damn it, there you go doing that crazy stuff. Again, perfect analogy. Like I said, you take your girl to the party, and everything is cool until back that thing up came on, and then she started twerking.
That's not a great analogy. I'm sorry.
That's an awesome analogy.
It's an uncomfortable one.
They'd be like, damn, what you doing? In front of your parents there, and she backing that thing
that
up.
Actually, you know, I'm gonna walk something back. That actually is kind of a good analogy, because Sunday the Hall of Famers were there, right?
Yeah.
So Sirianni in front of all the Eagles Hall of Famers.
Start twerking.
Those parents are from a different generation. They don't understand the twerk, guys.
Dinosaurs.
But it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. I was trying to have a nice meal, and then she's twerking.
I don't like that dinosaur.
Sometimes uncomfortable is okay, guys.
You know what? It's not. It's not against the Jaguars. All right, 215-592-9494. But, and we have to acknowledge this, the players do like the guy, and they seem to go along what he does. Here's Darius Slay earlier this week on the tush push and the going forward and all the Sirianni stuff that I don't love.
I ain't going to say it's really bad on offense, because we like our coach to be aggressive. I know a lot of guys be like, oh, man, coach should take the points. Coach should do this. Coach should do that. Da-da-da-da-da. We okay with going forward on fourth down, because we got guys that we trust and believe that could get the play done. You know what I'm saying? Not too long ago, we played the Giants. 4th and 3. And y'all know what happened on that 4th and 3. Tug. You know where it hurts throwing that mother AJ on the go ball. Tug. You know what I'm saying? So we cool with it. And you know what I'm saying? I can say the Jacksonville Jaguars played the Snoopy the best I ever seen a team play it. Because I think we even convert now maybe one. And that's rare. And we've been doing the Snoopy for so long and guys couldn't stop it. And I gotta commend them. They stopped it. And, you know, and everybody probably complaining about the 2 points.
Yeah, look, I don't know about the Snoopy thing. That's a weird way to describe the tush push. But I get it. Look, he pointed out the good. Yeah, 4th and 3 against the Giants. It worked out. Boom, touchdown, and the Eagles go. I just feel week to week, the Eagles win more in spite of Nick Sirianni than because of him.
And this definitely feels like that this week.
Oh, shit, no question. 215-592-9494. Do you believe the Eagles win in spite of their head coach, which is an odd thing for a team that's 6-2 and 40-19 in his tenure, but I do believe that. Kyle Quinn, who has really found himself here, back in the full Sirianni camp, is not happy with
it. Yeah, you're going to leave my guy, Nick Sirianni, alone.
Oh, I'm not. But
well, I just feel like we get so hyper-focused, and this isn't like everybody does, right? Fans, us, everything. All we've been talking about this week after that game are Sirianni's decisions, the spot that it put him in, how many points they left on the board.
Nine.
I think we get a little bit hyper-focused on that kind of thing, because we can't say they're not winning in spite of what he's doing during the week, right? He's clearly getting the team motivated. He's clearly getting the team ready to play. He's not lost the locker room. The guys like him. And I think for the past 4 weeks, you know, maybe you can leave the Browns game out of that, but they've been ready to play. They've come out looking prepared and ready to go. So really what we're talking about is just the moments in the game that they're winning in spite of, right? But I think we get too focused on that, because that's not the only bad thing that happened to the Eagles in any of these games. Like, Hurts might make a bad throw, or they might have poor execution on the tush push, or Saquon Barkley might slide in a spot where he needs to go and go for the first down, right? So, like, I don't come here and say, well, they won in spite of Saquon's idiotic play on that play. So, like, there's just so many things that happen throughout the course of a game that the Eagles might have to overcome. But I think that's sort of every NFL team, right? They're not going to be perfect from second one to the final whistle. So do they win in spite of some of the bad decisions that he's made on game day? Sure. But that's not the only thing the Eagles are winning in spite of. Like, the Eagles are winning football games because ultimately they're ready to play and they're a good team. And Nick Sirianni has to get the credit for that.
215-592-9494. All right, so Kyle brings up something fair there. And there's a lot of moments that happen in the game, right? It's not just a fourth down decision here. It's not just a fumble here. Mm-hmm. It's the combination of what? 110 plays between both sides?
And to help you out, you always hear coaches say there's not one play that defines the way the game goes. But this was a couple of...
Well, 9 points is a lot. I mean, 9 points slot for a coach to take off the board. All right, but one more thing, and then we'll go to the phone lines. 215-592-9494. Are the Eagles winning in spite of Nick Sirianni? So Sirianni's not the first coach, he won't be the last one, that has some in-game question marks, right? Mm-hmm. Let's just stay right here. One that, Hugh, you know well, and the NFL knows well now, is an all-time great coach. At some point, all anyone talked about Andy Reid was his clock management, right? Yeah. It was a big conversation. But even if that was below average, Andy brought so many other things to the team, especially his play calling and offensive design, right? So you kind of evened it out and said, all right, he's not great at this.
Mm-hmm.
But the offense works because it's Andy Reid's offense. With Sirianni, I'll even use Shanahan. Shanahan's been talked about as like he kind of chokes in the fourth quarter, right, mm-hmm. Kyle Shanahan? He also designs the offense that gets the team to the Super Bowl. Like, with Sirianni, I feel like I'm getting a lot of the bad, and I'm not getting any good on game day.
This might not be a fair assessment, but I think this is what people are thinking. And you made the comparison to Coach Reid and clock management. Coach Reid even when Coach Reid wasn't managing the clock well, he didn't look like he was having a meltdown. And I think that, in all seriousness, I think that that's what a lot of people thought early on in this process. And, you know, and we talked about this yesterday, and, you know, Coach Sirianni has these press conferences and everything. And I say this with all seriousness. I don't think he does himself any favors by long talking. He just does it.
Yep.
You know, he's talking to these reporters. And when I say these reporters, it's with all due respect. I'm not trying to disrespect anybody. But I think that when you long talk these reporters and you try to bring them behind the curtain, they use a lot of that against you. It's being used against you, and it's making you tell these great stories about, you know, your experiences with football and things of that nature. Nobody cares about that. They care about this team. They don't care about Mount Union and how Coach came. No, Joe, seriously, like, and how Coach came to visit you and stuff like that. Nobody cares about that. They care about this team, and they want to know about this team. And when you do things like that, even though you're having a moment and you're trying to bring people in, it's being used against you. It's being used as, see, there you go. He off on a tangent again. He's talking about stuff that don't nobody care about. Talk about the Eagles. Show me the baby. That's all anybody cares about here is the baby. And the baby in this situation is the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, and look, we can pretend and we can hope that it won't cost them, right? That the Eagles roster is so good that he'll just kind of can be there and motivate and get out of the way. I mentioned it on Monday. I'll mention it again. I'm watching that Red Sox documentary. 2003, Yankees, Red Sox, ALCS, Red Sox trying to get to the World Series. They have this great team, Hugh. They have Manny Ramirez, David Ortiz, Pedro Martinez. What's the manager, right? He just sit there, right? He got in the way. I mean, he had an all-time blunder and got in the way. And I just have this, like, feeling that this team is coming together. They're good. They're talented. He's going to matter at some point. It's going to be a fourth down or a moment or a two-point conversion or something in the third quarter or fourth quarter of a game in Detroit in the playoffs or against San Francisco or whoever, the Commanders. And he's going to do something, and we're going to be like, oh, my goodness gracious, that just cost him the game. 215-592-9494. Are the Eagles winning in spite of Nick Sirianni? Let's go to the phone lines here. Will in the Northeast. Hey, Will.
Will.
My favorite team. How y'all doing, Dream Team?
What's up, man?
Will?
I just want to say, like I said, you know, these things have to be addressed, man. I mean, because if we just let it slide, then, you know, as you were saying earlier, Joe, it can happen later in the season where it really counts, and it can make or break us. So, you know, by us addressing him and you know, giving him understanding of, you know, the different things and choices that he made in another game, that can, like, ruin us. But the thing I want to say is, you got to just keep that consistency going, man. If everything is flowing, go with the flow. Like y'all keep telling him, read the room, man. That's what he got to learn to do. Stay out of your own way, Sirianni, because guess what? It's not the fans and all of and the teammates that's burying you. You're starting to bury yourself, man. So just, you know, get out of your own way. Stop with the ego tripping. Stop thinking you got to prove everything to everybody. Just, you know, coach a good game, man, and get the win. That's all we want from you. And the rest of the team is going to appreciate you more for doing that.
Yeah, just keep it simple. You're right. Get out of the way. Will, the games this year where he gets in the way, unfortunately, are the games that we talk about the most with him. Like you said, a couple weeks ago, he was on the rise because he stayed out of the way. His team played well. They won. And we're like, all right, Nick, see, we're good now. But, like, once you start interjecting yourself in the game, then it gets hairy.
And you know what? You know, like I say, Sirianni, you know, they fighting for him. They're playing hard for him. You know, and guess what, man? I didn't see it early in the season, but we got a hell of a chance, bro. We got a team. You know what I'm saying? We got all the weapons. And like I say, man, activate that Bo Dotson, man. He's going to be a big player. He's going to be a big player for us. But like I said, we got a good team. Sirianni, we need you to know that. We just need you to coach a good game, man. Not overdo it, not overthink it. That's all we need.
Keep it simple. Will, good phone call, man. We appreciate the phone call. Hugh, you said something earlier, and we were talking about like this team and their potential this season.
Mm-hmm.
This almost would be easier if it was like last year. Last year, they had a bad defense, right? And
yes,
the offensive wasn't where it needed to be. It was easy to kind of say, even though we were frustrated at Sirianni, like, we weren't talking much about his decisions last year, right? It was more about the team wasn't good enough. I think what actually makes the scrutiny stronger now is I think we realize the team's pretty good now. Like, they've got potential, so he can't hold them back now.
Yeah, and that's the problem. And now you're looking at it, and there's been some miscues on his part. And now we've gotten to the point where we've gotten super sensitive to everything that he does.
Oh, hypersensitive.
Yeah, super. Like, hyper, super, whatever. It's one of those things that we analyze all of the stuff that he does because we're wondering whether or not he's losing it. I mean, if you're being honest, you're wondering whether or not he is in the right space to put this team where it needs to be.
Yep.
And that's what we are booing for. That's the reason why people are not happy about the win. We should be talking about a win, but yet and still, nationally, we're talking about whether or not he's the right guy to lead this squad where it needs to be because we have a good squad. I was listening this morning, and one of the pundits said something about Eagles are a super talented team. Don't know what's going to happen, though, because of the coach's decisions. That's not – I don't care who you are. If I'm the CEO of a company, even though we're doing well, if there's questions on when is it the wheels going to fall off the wagon – I'm concerned about that.
Of course.
That.
And at some point, you could say that the CEO's not really day-to-day going to make, but at some point, a big decision's coming back to the CEO. A big decision's going to be on Sirianni, and it's almost impossible to trust him. 215-592-9494. Are the Eagles winning in spite of their head coach? It sounds crazy, but it feels real as we watch this thing play out. All right, on the other side, your phone calls. And D-Gun, after the game, he had a wild idea about what the Eagles should do about Nick Sirianni and his game day decisions. I'm going to make the case for why it's not that wild. Outside the box, yeah. Insane? I don't think so. We'll get to that. Plus, ComboCon will tell you how you can win an incredible prize today and enter a grand prize giveaway. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. Are the Eagles winning in spite of their head coach? Sports Radio 94 WIP.